organization, it was for about $600 or $700 million. Now, in comparison, if someone wanted to buy the Devil Rays at that time, I'm sure the money was about $200. So there is a little difference in how much they're worth and how much money they make. All baseball organizations are generally profitable, but not nearly as much as football, just because football is America's sport in this day and age. So I'm not sure with the salary cap, because there's more money, there's more of a pool. I would love to see continuity on my team. I wish we could keep the star players that we have. I wish Braylon stays there for 15 years. I wish Kellen Winslow stayed until his career ended. But the way it is with free agency and how much cap space you have, it's inevitable that these guys are going to move around a lot.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens in the next couple of days. I mean, like I said before, free agency started today, literally. And it's kind of weird. I mean, we won't get into this, but I don't know what you think, but I think it's kind of weird that they were able to sign Haynesworth. The Redskins were able to sign Haynesworth within 8 hours of the beginning of the free agency period. Some have said that maybe there's a little bit of scandal going on there. But like I said, again, we won't really get into that. Right now, what I want to get into is the NFL Combine. I know, Dave, you've been pretty excited to talk about that, being the big college football fan that you are. A couple big stories out of the NFL Combine so far. First was the Michael Crabtree. He had a stress fracture in his foot, and they weren't sure if that was going to prevent him from doing the drills and whether he was going to have to take surgery. And the surgery for repairing a stress fracture takes about 10 weeks to recover from. So they were wondering if that was going to affect his draft status. I don't know if you had an opinion on that. I was thinking that it wouldn't.
I don't think it should. Now, as long as it's tough, though, with stress fracture, because he's trying to debate whether he wants to run or get the surgery, run at his pro day. I think he should go ahead and get the surgery. You look at, this is to a much more extreme degree, Willis McGahee, when he got hurt. Yeah. He got that surgery immediately. So when he was drafted, he was still rehabbing. You know, he probably had a 65% knee in terms of healthiness when he was drafted. So I think he should just get that out of the way. It shouldn't affect his status. Now, something that should affect his status is his height. Now, this is a guy who, when I saw him play, it looked like he was that 6'3", 220-pound, just physical guy you could just throw in the middle, and he could just bang around there. You think of a build like Andre Johnson. Now, I thought he was like that, and then you see his measurables, he's like 6'1". So he's like average receiver height. He's not as fast as these high-end guys. You look at Darius Heyward-Bay, ran a 4.30 40, the fastest 40, and the second fastest 40 out of receivers in the past eight, 9 years. Jerome Mathis, Jermone Figures had numbers in that high end. You have Percy Harvin. He's a guy who's similar height. He can run a 4.4 or faster.
They're saying that he's going to be like a Reggie Bush kind of a player there.
Percy Harvin?
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. They're going to use, because Florida used him as a running back, kind of running back slash wide receiver. Oh, so they were thinking that you know, maybe that's what Percy Harvin would serve as, kind of that hybrid, that new hybrid player that the NFL is starting to tend towards.
Yeah, he may. The only issue with Percy Harvin is he's a little small. He's since his freshman year, he's been playing that sort of running back position. He's pretty much the best running back they had since he's been at Florida. Jeff Demps came on. He's freshman this year, he was pretty good, but in general, he was the best run option they had. But as far as NFL body, when you look at him, he's only about 190 pounds. It'd be tough to throw him. Reggie Bush, even as small as he is, he's about 205, 210. Mm. So I don't know if that's the smartest thing, but he could be utilized. He's very good at reading the holes, and he's got natural running back instincts. As far as his body, maybe not. You look at Crabtree, I don't think his stock really dropped. I want to talk about a guy whose stock did drop.
Well, before we get into that, one more question about Crabtree. Okay. And we will get we will. Alabama tackle Andre Smith. But Crabtree, I'm just wondering, he's been touted by Mel Kiper and some of the other scouts as really being one of the best players, if not the best player in the entire draft. And, I mean, obviously we saw how he dominated at Texas Tech over the last 2 years, and especially last year with, you know, that game-winning play against Texas. I mean, you know, clearly an absolutely great player. in college. And so my question to you, I mean, we've seen players that were great receivers in college. We've seen the Charlie Rogers, and we've seen the Mike Williams and players like that who come to the NFL and it just doesn't translate. And I'm just wondering if you could answer this for me, what makes Crabtree different from those receivers?
Well, his, I think, elusiveness, separation from receiver or from cornerbacks, I think that plays a large role in how good you're going to be. You look at Roy Williams, formerly out of Texas. This is the receiver, not the safety. He's playing for the Cowboys now. Mm-hmm. He's solid. Now, he had a 1,000-yard year as a rookie, I believe. But the issue with him, the reason why he's not going to be an elite receiver, this guy's 6'4", he's 215, he's pretty fast, is because he can't get away from the receivers. He can't. If anyone jams him, he cannot separate. And I think that's a lot of problems with him. With Mike Williams, you saw that his weight ballooned. He could not. He wasn't fast enough. Took a year off.
Because of the fact he came out too early. Yeah.
He wasn't fast in the first place.
Yeah.
And you know, if you can't get away from these guys, then you're not going to be good. That's the difference between those guys, or Charlie Rogers also, and a guy like Plaxico Burress. Plaxico Burress, not top-end speed, pretty fast, but you know, not top-end speed, but he can get away.
Yep.
And I think Crabtree does that pretty well. He's also benefiting from the system, the spread system, that allows space in the offense, so he's going to be open anyways. So it'll be interesting to see him running, you know, NFL routes. Running deep posts and all that.
Yeah.
Deep out corner.
I've heard the rumors that the NFL might be transitioning into a new era of spread offense.
That is very true.
So,
you look at a guy like Pat White, he could be utilized pretty well. He had one of the best quarterback throwing performances of the combine. This is compared to Mark Sanchez threw the ball. He didn't do it too well. Rhett Bomar is a guy from Sam Houston State, formerly of Oklahoma. Pat White was up there. So you see that he can play quarterback, and he could be like this wildcat formation because he can use his athleticism as well.
We know he can definitely run. He pretty much has the sole possession of the record for most rushing yards by a quarterback in the NCAA. Again, you're listening to Sports Talk. I need to slow down. Listen to Sports Talk. We're talking sports. Tim Taylor and David Williams in the studio today. Jeff Lesser, nowhere to be found.
He's on a vacation in Bloomington, Indiana.
Is that where he is?
That's where he is.
I wonder if the weather's better there. Probably not. Well, hopefully he'll be back. Are we even doing a show next week? What do you think?
Yeah, I'll do a show next week.
I mean, because that's the beginning of spring break is next Friday, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As long as our listeners are here, I'm here. So.
Hmm.
We're talking sports, always.
You know, I'll think about it.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'll be here next week. We're not sure. We're talking sports, but we're not sure if we will be talking sports next week. So stay tuned for that. Join our Facebook group if you haven't already. It's called Sports K-Word Sports Talk. I think that's what it's called. Let's get back to the NFL, huh? We've got one more story from the Combine about Alabama tackle Andre Smith. Real interesting story. And a story that may cause a lot of money to be changing hands here. So, David, take it away.
Well, this all starts in high school. Alabama's Andre Smith became one of the first players in the country. Now, this is the first guy in Alabama history, state history. Now, I hope someone from Alabama doesn't call me on this. But he won Mr. Football as a lineman. And do you realize, the chances of that happening, no one knows what linemen are doing in high school. No one knows what they're doing in college. And he made such an impact, significant impact, that he was in all Alabama football. So he goes to Alabama, University of Alabama, is the top recruit, highly touted recruit. Freshman year, he's all SEC, you know, all freshman team. Sophomore year, all SEC again. Junior year, this past year, he won the Outland Trophy for the top offensive lineman. This guy, for the past year, has been in the top five in terms of draft picks.
So this guy's a stud, huh?
This guy's a stud.
Hmm.
Now, the issue happens. It all begins the Sugar Bowl this year in 2009, beginning of 2009, with Utah.
Alabama versus Utah.
And there's an issue that comes up that apparently, it wasn't him, but his uncle was talking with an agent. And, improper discussions with an agent. So, Nick Saban heard about it, suspended him for the game. This is the biggest game of his career, a chance for him to really distance themselves from the others in this game, and the Alabama offensive line gets shut down by Utah as a result because he wasn't playing. So what you get here is Andre Smith, his stock drops just a little bit, and he has a chance to redeem himself at the combine. So combine begins. He comes in. He's a little out of shape. He's about 10 pounds overweight, and he has no agent, and he's a little erratic in his interviews, and he leaves the workouts early. So as a result, people don't think he's serious about
this. What do you
mean
by leave?
He left. He didn't.
So you mean he flew home?
He flew home. He wasn't there.
Okay, so the combine is where you're supposed to make your impression on NFL scouts, really show them that you are worthy of an investment that they're going to make in you of millions and millions of dollars. You talk about a top five pick. A top five pick makes probably hundreds of percent amount of money over like a pick lower in the first round or even in the second round. So all that, and he left early.
And he was out of shape. And this is a guy who's kept himself in pristine shape for the past 8 years. And his most important job interview. It's like leaving your job interview. You graduate from WashU, and you're being interviewed for some engineering firms, and they ask you like a couple questions, and then you just leave, without announcing why or the purpose of leaving. You just leave,
not telling anyone.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get that job.
Oh my goodness.
So Scott, there's a significant red flag on this guy, because
I'd say so.
Because I mean, how can you expect a guy to, if how can you trust him with so much money if you don't even know if he's gonna be there for you? How can you be a teammate of this guy if you don't know if he has your back on a consistent basis? So despite all of his talent, he has all the talent in the world, this guy's gonna drop to probably the 20th pick or something. Someone will still draft him, but in comparison, I saw there's the first picks usually get about, top three picks usually get about $30 million guaranteed. And what I'm hearing is that he lost about $20 to $25 million of guaranteed money because of him not being prepared.
So all he had to do was show up in shape, go through the workouts, maybe have a good interview, and not leave after that was all over. And he would have, like you said, been making about $25 million more dollars than he would have, than he is now.
And this is after him missing the biggest game of his life. Even after that, they gave him a second chance. They're like, okay, you know what? This stuff happens occasionally. That's fine. You redeem yourself. You have a good interview. You work out with us. Then we will entrust you with our franchise. But apparently, no. So I'm sure these guys, these teams sitting in the 15-20 position in the first round draft are just salivating right now because they want to take a chance on him. Because I'm sure he'll be a great pro, but who knows?
Yeah, so that's kind of a tragic story. You hate to see a guy kind of screw up like that. I mean, he definitely just made a mistake, but I don't know. Can some good come from this? You'd hope so. Maybe he will be a great pro and he'll make that money back through free agency or something once the NFL doesn't have a salary cap.
Yeah. He'll have a huge chip on his shoulder like half of the NFL players.
Yeah.
So. But, because they're all under, they're not respected as much as they should be, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Nobody believes in them.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Even the favorites, no one believed in the Steelers. You guys were picking the Cardinals, man.
we were only the number one seed in the playoffs. Nobody believed in us. But anyway, anything else from the NFL Combine that you wanted to touch on?
I found it funny that there's a kicker.
Okay.
There's a kicker from USC. Now, this guy's 225, so he should be able to carry his weight at least a little bit. He bench presses weight, the standard weight for the combine that they do repetitions of is 225 pounds. He did it 25 times, which is very good. Very good. This is what linebackers...
That's like a bench of like 380, maybe even 400 pounds.
Yeah,
right there.
That's what generally linebackers, running backs, they'll be around that.
25 times.
Very good. Offensive linemen, supposed to be about 30 to 35 reps or so. There were two. These guys are going to get drafted in the top 15. Eugene Monroe, Michael Oher, bench press less than
the kicker.
The Michael Oher, in size comparison, this guy is 6'7", about 325,
wow.
330. Wow. And, yes, he got out bench pressed by a kicker.
That's really good stuff. That's really good stuff.
So let's draft that kicker, man.
Oh, seriously, put him at tackle.
Put a jersey on him.
Oh, man.
Give him some shoulder pads.
Wow, what else you got, man?
Well, Darius Hayward Bay, he helped out his stock a lot.
University of Maryland.
University of Maryland, often underutilizing their star players.
Yeah, well, this is how it basically goes. Maryland has never had a quarterback and never will. For some reason, they just can't get a quarterback. So you've got, I think they started three quarterbacks this year, like at some point in time. Darius Hayward Bay, everybody knew he was the star. I mean, he's just really, there are certain players that you can watch on Maryland. Maryland's the kind of program, they don't have great players all the way through their program like an SEC team would or an Ohio State, but they always seem to have a first-round draft pick on their team every year.
Always.
And yeah, I'm not exaggerating. I mean, Merriman, Vernon Davis, EJ Henderson, I mean, it just seems every year they've got somebody that's just going to be a top, either a first round or a second round draft pick in the NFL. And this year, you know, Darius Hayward Bay is really just that kind of player. You look at him, you go, wow, he really looks like an NFL receiver. The problem is he doesn't have an NFL quarterback throwing him the ball. And so scouts question whether he can actually play receiver or not. And when I'd say in all reality, he probably can. It's just he didn't have a quarterback, you know, the entire time he was there. So I don't know. I guess the moral of the story is if you're a wide receiver, do not go to Maryland.
Yeah. And the only other news I have were the running backs were incredibly slow. Incredibly slow.
Well, last year they were incredibly fast.
Yeah,
so
that's
true. In comparison, yeah, that's exactly how it's going to
look. There were only a couple running backs that cracked 4 or 5, which is really not that good at all. And they were not. They were the possession guys. I was looking for players like LeSean, a.k.a. Shady McCoy from Pitt, looking for Chris Wells and looking for Noshon Moreno from Georgia to shine, and they did not. So, and they played okay. They did okay. You know, they were within the top echelon of the running backs, but they're obviously the best. They're so much better than the next tier. I expected a little bit more, but it won't affect their draft status. Still be in the top 20 or so.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, 40, time doesn't really tell you everything. I mean, I know Emmitt Smith didn't have a great 40. I think he ran something like a 4.5. So
I'd be surprised if he ran that.
Yeah, he was pretty slow. But the NFL draft is so far away. It's kind of depressing. It's April 25th, so we've got about 2 months to go before the NFL. Oh, I love the draft, by the way. I don't really know that much about college football, but I know all the teams. And I think the real reason I love the NFL draft, it really has the best coverage of just about any show that you can watch on TV. You got the guys that break down every draft pick. They give you predictions. They give you analysis right there on the spot. I love Mel Kiper. Mel Kiper Jr. actually went to my high school.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just absolutely
love the guy. He's got great hair. I mean, everything.
Amazing hair. And his hair will stay the same until he turns about 70. he'll just get white, and it'll still be the same.
It's so tall and majestic. Yeah, so that draft. I can't wait for the draft. Very excited about that. You know, the combine will continue. I think, is the combine over? I mean, how's the combine work?
I'm pretty sure the combine's over. They might have a few post interviews, but by now it's over. It pretty much the bulk of it happened Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then everyone went home.
Yep.
So the next step is the pro workouts.
Yes. Yeah, so what they basically do now, I think maybe you can make sure I'm on top of my knowledge, David. What they do now is basically there are players that did not agree to come to the combine and work out. Players such as Matt Stafford. And so what the teams will do is teams that are interested in him will have to fly to where he's at and watch him work out with his own receivers and in his own place. And the reason that pros do that, or the reason that players do that, is so they are able to show their skills in a comfortable setting. Because when you come to the NFL combine, you're expected to throw the receivers that you're not comfortable with. And so, you know, you don't want your stock to drop, so you'll have the teams, and the reason that the combine even exists is a money saving thing. Instead of having to fly around to each player and check out each player, you know, they say come to us, and that way the teams can all meet in one general location and interview players and really watch players work out all in one spot. And so there are a couple players that don't agree to do that. And so now the teams will fly around and see those players do workouts in their own individual spaces. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you got it right. That is the next step. And I look forward to seeing how I'm obsessed with college football. I'd like to see once these guys graduate, once these guys move on to the NFL, see how they progress, how they mature. You know, there's some guys that they're capped out. They're as good as they're going to be. But there are others that, you know, they're late bloomers. They might not have been that good in college. A player like Clay Matthews, a linebacker from USC, is a perfect example. He was a fringe player, a walk-on when he started by his senior year. He was one of the star linebackers for that team. I like to see the progression. Like to see who's mature, who's really cut out for this. Is Andre Smith cut out? Don't know. I like to see Matt Stafford in a professional setting and not lifting kegs over his head like he has done before. But that is neither here nor there.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, like I said, I really love to watch the draft. I just like to see all the players from all the different schools and basically how their future is set all on one day and all on one stage. And I just the general amount of interest, how fans will actually go to Radio Hall and watch the draft live. I just think it's fascinating, the whole process of it, and can't wait for that. Like I said before, but it's 2 months away. So in the meantime, we'll have to enjoy some NBA basketball, college basketball, March Madness right around the corner, fill out some brackets.
I'm excited.
Money on it, of course, because that's illegal for me to do as an NCAA athlete. But very excited for that. We're getting close to the conference tournaments. I don't really have too many thoughts on it per se, but it's my general feeling about college basketball this year, very weak. And that is just, you can see that just there are no standout dominant teams. And if you watch the game, with the exception of a couple teams, I mean, you got your UConns and teams like that where it's very strong play, but it just seems like the play is much weaker than it used to be.
Oh, you're right. And we talk about the dilution of the, you know, college basketball with the 19-year-old rule, the freshman year and leave rule. There's that. And then and over years, you look at the top seniors, and they would probably been the 40th best seniors in a normal setting if everyone had to stay all 4 years. So there's that. And then I think the parity is pretty good. You look at the number one team, you do not want to be number one or you're going to lose.
Nope.
UConn was number one, then they lost to Pitt. Pitt becomes number one, then they lose to, I believe, Providence. So it's something that you don't want to be. You're going to just get knocked off that pedestal pretty quickly. And I like that. I like seeing the competition. It's sort of like comparison. You have the big conferences in college basketball, those big six or so. Compare that to the NFL, where any team, if you don't come to bring it every day, you're going to lose. And I like seeing that. I like the competition is healthy. So
it's going to be really tough to fill out a bracket this year, though, because none of the teams are really standing out. So we'll see what happens there. Right now we'll do a public service announcement brought to you by David Williams, or read to you by David Williams. I guess he didn't bring it.
Approximately 7,000 high school students drop out every school day, which translates to 1 in 3 students in our country. Most of them want to graduate, but there's a lot that can get in the way. Sometimes they might just feel like there's no one to talk to when things get hard. If someone you know is thinking of dropping out, talk to them. Even if all you do is listen, giving them the boost to graduate could be the one thing that keeps them going. Go to boostup.org to learn more. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Wow, David Williams really bringing the music today. I was ready, queued up with some music, and David had his own.
Yes, I did.
It was a nice beat, too. I really liked that one. Maybe we'll give that job to you for now.
Yeah, maybe.
You know,
we'll have maybe.
Because I don't know if you heard it, there were drums, and David was actually playing the bongos in the studio.
I know, it's crazy. Like, I'm pretty versatile at that. You know, I'm sick with it. That's what they say.
I mean, he can really read it. He can read it, play the drums, and he was playing the keyboard with the other hand. I mean, sick nasty.
I don't know how we fit this all in the studio.
The studio's huge, man. I mean, it's crazy. WashU basketball, we're talking about college basketball, so we might as well delve into that. Both the men's and the women's team. Don't want to get this wrong. Pretty sure they're both UA champions, which is fantastic. Congratulations to both those teams.
WashU is number two in the men are number two in the national poll behind St. Thomas, which is 25-0. I mean, WashU's pretty much been in that upper echelon all year.
Oh, absolutely. And they suffered a very surprising loss on Sunday. But first, their game on Friday, the men win 77-63 over Carnegie Mellon. Senior Tyler Nading, 29 points as they get a fairly easy victory, and he had 8 rebounds as well. So that was a good win on Friday night. Then on Sunday, they lose 70-69, which snaps their win streak. They basically hadn't lost since December. Aaron Thompson led the team with 20 points. He became the 18th player in school history to score 1,000 points. Congratulations, Aaron. And we also just found out that junior Cameron Smith has been named to the 2009 ESPN, the magazine, College Division Academic All-American Men's Basketball. That's a lot of words.
Yeah, it is. Third team. It's a lot of words. But, yeah, congratulations, Cameron Smith.
So that's excellent. He becomes the 5th men's basketball student-athlete to earn the honor. That's the men's. The women's basketball team. Cue this up here. Or maybe I don't have it. Oh, yeah. Here we go. The women's basketball team, they win both their games. Win their 8th straight game against Carnegie Mellon. What was the score here? Oh, 78-58. Man, the women's team has really been knocking them down.
I know, dude. Amazing. They're both, like, I'd say this all the time, but they're both in a prime position to, they're getting the momentum they need once they get to the playoffs. And is it true that WashU will be hosting a significant amount of the playoffs this year? Now, is that something that you can confirm?
I cannot confirm that because my research has not been up to par. But I tell you what, I sure hope so. I mean, it's so much fun to watch the tournament. I just as early as last year, I had a couple guys that I knew from back home in Maryland, from St. Mary's College in Maryland, came over and I got to see them play in our gym. It's really exciting to have teams from all over the country come to WashU to play basketball. So I sure hope that that's the case. I know Jeff was saying that if the men went out, then that would be the case. But obviously they did lose. So
yeah.
I'm interested to see what happens there.
So the scenario would be WashU would host every round up to the Final Four, which is in Salem, Virginia. Mm-hmm. That would be incredible. Because, you know, even if they happen to fall, we are biased because we go here and we obviously think that they're going to win the national championship again. Even if they were going to fall, we'd get to see, you know, the games up until the Final Four. And you know they're going to make it to at least the quarterfinals. So
yeah, and interesting stat here. The women's team actually becomes the first team in the country to gain an automatic bid to the 2009 NCAA tournament. So congratulations to them again. They won on Sunday with a win over Rochester, 65-52. Rochester was the number 6 team in the country at that time, so that was a great win for them. I actually got to watch the end of that game. It's really exciting to be in the gym. So I hope you guys come on Saturday when the Bears face off against Chicago. The women will be going at 1:00 and the men at 3:00. Again, this is the last regular season home game, which means that it is senior day, and so the women's team will be honoring Jill Brandt, Rovina Brumfield. Shanna, am I saying that?
Yeah, I think so.
Shanna Le Decane and Tina Luning. Tough names.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, it's fine.
As well as Jamie McFarlane and Halsey Ward. So come out and watch the team. I mean, they're really just on a roll. 9-game winning streak. Come support them in their last home game, 1:00 on Saturday. They always play the game against Chicago on a Saturday. It's kind of like a tradition, but traditionally there aren't games here on Saturday, especially UAA games. They're usually played on Fridays and Sundays. So 1:00 Saturday, the men are at 3:00, and then a senior day for them as well.
It's time to paint the field house red.
Yep, so the men will be facing off against Chicago at 3:00, and they will be honoring Sean Wallace, Tyler Nading. I think that might be it, actually. Are they the only 2 seniors on the team?
That's ridiculous.
Wow.
That is ridiculous.
Interesting. Well, come on, watch that. Be a chance to watch 2 of WashU's greatest players ever.
So this Saturday, look forward to it. I just wanted to bring up just a sidetrack for a little bit. Another college basketball story. that is sort of a story of futility. Denver University, they have a little problems playing on the road, and the men's team had lost 42 straight games on the road. Mm. And recently they won out of 43 tries. They have one win. You know, now the record for road losses is Sacramento State. They have 36 straight. So hopefully Sacramento State can keep on losing. but yeah, I mean, congratulations to Denver. You're not as bad as you were yesterday. And you know, I get that exclusive news from just shout out to Brian Horsberg out in Denver. Hope everything is well. With you. That was my Denver correspondent. He also had a little tidbit to tell me that a reward for the Denver basketball loss was their bags were lost in American Airlines. So they had no jerseys or no shoes when they went to Louisiana Monroe.
That's tough. That's tough. Well, real quick, some NBA news. We only have a couple minutes here. Even though we might kind of go over, depending if there's a show after us. There usually is, but who knows. The Celtics have just signed Stephon Marbury. Stephon Marbury cleared waivers today and was signed immediately by the Boston Celtics. Stephon Marbury has not played a game since January 2007. He did not play the rest of the 2007 season, and throughout this entire season had been benched by D'Antoni. And when the trade was made to send Jamal Crawford to the Warriors, they actually asked Stephon Marbury if he wanted to play. Asked him, you know, we're short on players. Would you like to play? And Stephon said no. You know, and he was comfortable earning his $20 million paycheck while sitting on the bench. Now, once the Celtics came out and said that he wanted Marbury, Marbury's tried to negotiate a buyout with the Knicks and was unable to do so. I think the Knicks were hesitant to release him because they knew that he would probably go to the Celtics or the Heat, which is, you know, that same a conference foe. But finally, they release him. He clears waivers, and now he is expected to play versus the Pacers today.
Oh, man. As far as team chemistry goes, sometimes you should not do certain things. You should not do certain things.
All right.
And signing a guy who almost single-handedly brought down an entire organization, despite how talented he is, this is like getting a T.O. but not as talented. You're getting the baggage but not the superstar ability. Yeah, Stephon Marbury in his prime, this guy put up 22 points a game. You know, scoring point guard, and he was good at it.
Yeah, very good. He's a star. He was an absolute star.
He's a star, but this is not when his prime. You know, this. I know he's serving as a backup point guard, but you're going to get more of this drama, get more of this just extra baggage that you don't even need. This is a team that won the championship last year. Why? Why on earth would you want to break up that chemistry? I know they had a couple of bad losses. You know, they lost to the Clippers. You know, they don't always come to play. But they're still one of the best teams. You know? I just don't understand it. You know, I don't understand it. But
we actually just got a call from your buddy Brian from Denver, so we're gonna put him on. Brian, can you hear me?
Am I on the air?
Yeah. How are you?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, man. Thanks for calling. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, you're talking NBA, and I'm from Cleveland originally, but now I'm your Denver correspondent as well. I just want to talk about the Cavs and Ben Wallace. Ben Wallace broke his leg last night, and the press is all worried about what's going to go on with Ben, what's going to go on with the Cavs, can LeBron hold the team up? I mean, what's going to go on with the Cavs? They've got a hard road trip right now, and I'm a little worried about their prospects.
I think, David, you were best suited to answer this question since you are a Cavs fan.
Hey, have a good one, guys. I'm going to listen to it.
All right, thanks, man.
Okay, well, Ben Wallace, now I'm hearing this as secondhand information, because I went to bed early, but Ben Wallace, he breaks his leg, and I hear he kept playing for about a quarter until he finally the pain took over. But as far as our prospects for continuing on at the pace that we are, Ben Wallace, at first, when he first came to the Cavs, he He seemed like a has-been. He seemed washed up. Yeah, he was brought in for that rebounding presence, but he wasn't really being that toughness factor. He didn't bring that toughness factor that we expected. So, you know, when he played these guys like Rasheed Wallace or Kevin Garnett, he would get abused. This year, I've seen a rejuvenated Ben Wallace. This guy, he's going out there. He's an effort guy. You know, he's getting the rebounds. You know, he's playing some solid D. But even so, I think he can. I don't think it's going to be detrimental to the team, but I think he can be replaced. It's just we need someone else because J.J. Hickson right now is not the answer. I know he serves more as a scoring change of pace, power forward to come off the bench, but he is inconsistent. I wouldn't trust him to play significant minutes. Anderson Varejao has proven that when Z got hurt, AV could in certain instances star. I mean, he put up 26 points and 10 rebounds one game, and this is sort of the potential that he's shown. But we just need an extra person. It's not like we don't have the talent, but you know, losing that extra guy, we need that person to come back. It's like when Delonte West got hurt. We were just missing a little something. Yeah, we still played great, but we just needed someone else to step in and fill that role. And I can't expect someone like Lorenzen Wright or like J.J. Hickson to fill that role. So I would like to maybe pick up someone else, but I don't think that we'll be significantly affected by Ben Wallace. I think we're still, without him, one of the best teams in the East.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. There's really not that much competition in the East, as we know. I mean, the Pistons. More on the Pistons in a minute, but the Cavs. The first thing, it's good news. The Cavs are actually only going to miss Wallace for 4 to 6 weeks. So he'll be back in April. Most likely will be back in April, which is good news. Secondly, you're right. I mean, they're definitely going to miss him. He's part of that rotation. I don't think he's starting, is he?
He does.
He does start?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're gonna have to replace him there. There's really not too many people out there. I mean, the trade deadline is passed, so they can't replace him that way. The only option that they really have would be to sign someone who's already out there, and maybe like a Robert Horry or something. But that's not really filling that need that you know of a center.
I'm thinking of it from the standpoint of playing the Orlando Magic. That is my biggest fear.
Right.
Pistons used to be my biggest fear. Celtics still, they're a great team. You know, when we play them, assuming that we do, it'll be probably a 6 or 7 game series. Given that. Orlando Magic, they provide a different dimension with, you know, they are working through Dwight Howard. He is becoming increasingly more hard to deal with. Hmm. He's just a dominant big man. And when you give it to him and he has a little bit of room to operate, he can just take over games. When I look at the Cavs, we have big guys. You know, we have Anderson Varejao. We have Z. But there's something missing. Can we muscle up with these guys? These are
right.
Kind of finesse big men. So from that standpoint, I'm a little worried, but even with Ben Wallace, it's not going to change that much.
This is a pretty funny story, actually. Wallace said the injury occurred on a freak occurrence in the second quarter when he said Rocket center Yao Ming inadvertently kicked him in the leg as the two were running back up court. Initially, Wallace thought he had injured his calf or bruised a bone in his leg and prayed through the rest of the second half into the third quarter. And into the, I guess that means the first half, and into the third quarter. But Cavaliers trainer Max Benton thought Wallace was running funny, quote unquote. Wallace came out of the game, went to the locker room, and discovered that, yeah, he'd actually broken his leg. So, again, Wallace off for 4 to 6 weeks. Do I really think it's going to affect the playoff picture? Not really, because he's going to be back before the regular season ends. We're pretty much out of time. David, I don't know if you want to. We usually do parting shots. I don't know if you have anything this week, but if so, please.
I don't have too much, but just from the combine standpoint, I just want to just emphasize the fact that these measurables, they do not make up a pro football player. I love talking about the numbers, love talking about the 40 speeds, and I love talking about the cone drills and all of that and the times that they get compared to others. But when you break it down, weight room is great. It shows work ethic. It shows all of that. When you break it down, you have to see what they're doing on the field. So when you look at some of these guys who aren't combine warriors, aren't weight room warriors, aren't workout warriors, I want to see how they're playing on the field, and that's how I'm going to judge whether these guys are legit or not. So, Chris Wells, if he didn't run as fast forward as he want, I see him as a football player, and I see his potential, and, you know, I'm excited to see what he can do on the field.
Very good. Real quick story from out of high school basketball. I always enjoy the human interest stories that ESPN provides from time to time. This one is about high school basketball. Guy who was playing, he was a senior for a team in Milwaukee. He had lost his mother to cancer the day before, and he went, or actually that day, and he decided that he, at first he decided that he wasn't going to play in his in that game against a team from Illinois, DeKalb High School. But he decided that he was going to play, and he showed up to the game late. And the coach, if this basically what happens, if you don't put a player's name down as being there, which you usually wouldn't do if a player didn't show up, then if that player shows up and you want to add him to the book, you have to shoot technical foul. The other team gets to shoot two technical free throws. And so that happened. He didn't want to, the referees didn't want to do the technical, but they had to. The coach didn't want to, you know, have to do that. But, you know, he's there. He wants to play. He has to put him in the book. The other team had to shoot two technical free throws. And so their coach huddles the players up and says, who wants to shoot these shots? A guy raises his hand, volunteers, says, let me do it. And the coach said, you know you have to miss him, right? And he said, yeah. And so he walks up to the line and literally throws the ball right in front of him, and it rolls past the inbound line. He does that for both free throws. And, you know, the guy was just so – he was just so happy that they had done that for him and so appreciative that he actually wrote them a letter at their school thanking them for, you know, missing those free throws on purpose so that he wouldn't be penalized for showing up late after his mother's death that day. So just an example of how sports is not all bad. It's not all Pac-Man Jones and T.O. There is a lot of sportsmanship still left in sports, and especially on the high school level. That's it for us. Thanks for listening to We're Talking Sports. I'm Tim Taylor.
I'm David Williams.
Tune in next week, and we may or may not be here. Check the Facebook group, I guess, for a message. We will let you know whether we're going to be here next week or not. That's it. Enjoy the rest of the day.